I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid.
Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, T, from good old Boston, Massachusetts. How you doing, everyone? It is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019. Holy fucking shit. We are in April. We are in spring. We are in baseball season. My beautiful World Series defending Boston Red Sox are back. I'm in my new place. Even though I recorded this in my old place. But I will be in my new place when this actually airs. Life is getting better, at least for me, after what I've fucking went through last year. Before I started this podcast, I'm starting to feel like me again. I'm starting to feel like T. I'm starting to catch my groove. I'm just hitting it on all fucking cylinders. And I love it. Feeling like myself. And I'm here to entertain the fuck out of all of you like I usually do. Keep on coming back. Keep on sharing. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on sending the questions and the comments. And that is why we are here today. That's right. I've been promising it since I started this podcast way back in September of last year. Now we go to September. October, I was kind of off. I was going through the stuff with my mom. Then November and December, the holidays. January, February. We brought in B-Lo in March and April. And here we are. And I kept on promising everyone that eventually, and they've been coming in more and more with each podcast, and I thank you for it. But I promise you all that I will respond to your questions. So today's podcast, it is T Response to the Listener's Questions, Volume 1. Now, there were a lot of fucking comments and a lot of questions and a lot of DMs. And I gotta say, a lot of that is good. Some of it was bad. Some of it was fucking crazy. Some of y'all don't know how to write. And I didn't cherry pick these, but I just kind of took stuff that would make for good content, good replies. And eventually I'll do more and more. So just keep on emailing me and I'll give away all that information at the end like I usually do as the podcast goes. But today I picked 10 comments, 10 questions, 10 total that I'm going to answer today as best as I can, as honest as I can. They're related to my life, to the podcast, the T-blog, all things that make me and who I am. And it's stuff that you guys have been asking and you've been commenting on and you want to hear. So thank you from the bottom of my cold black Boston heart. I appreciate it. So let me just jump right into this, okay? And it's interesting, some of the comments. And again, I didn't clean it up. I just took them as what they were, and I'm going to respond. I'm not, again, in the fairness of anonymous and anonymity, how we approach things here on T-Block. I will not name you. Eventually, I will put that out there. Maybe if I get the time to reach back saying you want me to put your at mention out there, or your social media, or your name, that's up to you. We'll get to that. For now, though, it'll be anonymous. I'm not going to say who asked this. Some were repeat questions from a few people. Again, I'm not saying I've gotten fucking questions from thousands and thousands of people. But those of you, when you hear the comment and the question, you're going to know it's from you. So hopefully you listen to this today, or eventually we'll come back to this podcast where I answer the questions and comments, Volume 1. All right, starting with number one. Starts with a little comment. Couple comments, and then it kind of swerves, and maybe it takes a more vicious turn. It doesn't really, but I'll get into it. Here it is. This listener wrote, love the podcast. Thank you. Love T-Blog. Thank you. You're very entertaining. Thank you. With everything you have done or doing in life, why do you think you're still single? That is the million-dollar fucking question from you and some other listeners and the people in my life. The women I have dated, the women in the past, friends, family. And depending on who you are and how I answer that, right? And I've gone on record on T-Blog and here of why I'm still single. Okay, well, I'm not going to rehash that stuff. I'll just get right to it. I always felt that I needed to do a lot. I needed to become something in my life. I needed to do something. I needed to do something that I was proud of, that my mother would be proud of. I needed to be someone. And the whole time I was doing that, living life, you know, it was, life didn't pass me by because I do enjoy life. I do live life my way. And I just never been someone that was able to stop loving my life the way I was living it enough to change and compromise with someone else. Nor was I ever in love with someone more than I loved myself enough to change my ways, to find that person in the middle, to meet them in the middle. I was just going, you know, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, going on all cylinders in my life. And I wanted to make something of my life. And next thing you know, I'm 41 years old. It's not like anything else ever passed me by. Not like I have regret. I wanted to go as long as I could, living this life my way. Not knocking anyone in my life or anyone I've seen, but I've never been around a healthy relationship. Some are maybe 80, 90%. I've never seen a full healthy relationship where people aren't having affairs, aren't loving that person day in and day out. They're not in therapy. Again, I'm not judging them. It's something I just didn't want for myself. And again, as much as sometimes I would go every day thinking whether or not I want to be a parent or not. And now more so, I'd rather be a dad and then become a husband. That's secondary, honestly, as crazy as that sounds. And I'm still singles because honestly, I didn't, everything I just said, I just didn't want to compromise. I was not too self-centered. There was just a lot I had to do for myself. And me just going up in life, doing more and more, both mentally, emotionally, financially, I was able to do that. And I've said it before. For the people I love, I've taken them along the journey with me. Whether I was going out to Hollywood, they were there. They read those scripts. They were there with me every time I pitched, every time I got rejected. Whether I was back home in Eastie, poor, every fucking battle, every fight, anything that I just couldn't afford, they were there with me. And I want to take those people with me, and they know who they are. And I've told them that. And whether I've grown in salary, in experience and culture, I've taken them on trips, I bought things for them, and I wanted them to do that. I wanted everyone I love to be proud of me. I wanted my mother to be proud of me. I wanted my sister to be proud of me. I wanted my nieces and nephews to say, I'm proud of Uncle. That's who he is. He lives life his way, but we know he's always there for us. And Uncle's dating and he's crazy and he meets girls and he takes them around the world and he chases his dreams and he has fun. But that's my son, that's my brother, that's my best friend, that's my uncle, that's just him. He's lived life his way. And I always said that once I found her, if I was willing enough to change my life, to give up that lifestyle, not give it up, but change it, and meet her in the middle, and she was able to change her life and meet me in the middle, and we came together, I was happy on my own, whether I was dating, hooking up, but if she made me happier, then I would get married. Now, I've done that in relationships. I've gone dating women a long period of time. And whether I broke it up or they broke it up or it was a mutual breakup, you know, that has happened because I wasn't willing to compromise or love them enough, or they weren't willing to compromise or love me enough. I've gone on record. I've been in love a couple times, but there's only been one that I've been more in love with than myself. And that was the one I was willing to change it all on. And that I felt like it's out there. It could be found. Do I want to go through that again? I don't know. You know, it's not like I don't mind getting hurt. It happens. I kind of toughen up the heart when it comes to that. So I'm still single because of all that, listener, you know who you are that asked this. So that's that. And more about my love life will be here on the podcast. You can go back and listen. I'll go back to T-Blog. Number two, what's with the hat thing? That is, again, anonymity, being anonymous on T-Blog. I don't reveal my name, who I am, my face. I kind of had that since I started T-Blog in December 2009. I will go on record to my dying day that I was the first person to make it popular on the internet and social media to tuck their hat low with the one-hand salute on the corner of the rim of the hat. Even if you never listened to the podcast or read T-Blog, but you've done that hat thing, I guarantee you've done that hat thing because you've seen somebody do that hat thing, who's seen somebody do that hat thing, that saw somebody do that hat thing, that read fucking T-Blog. That's my claim to fame, even if it never made me famous, because my name's not there and my face isn't there. I love the hat thing. That T-Blog hat, that Boston Red Sox hat, it represents everything I used to be, everything I became, everything I am. It's been around the world with me. It's been there with good times and bad times. It's been there with people that I lost in my life. There are people love, loss, love, gain with that hat. And it's just me. It's gone more than T-Block. It's become more than the T-Podcast. It's more than Boston. It's more than the Red Sox. The hat thing is my thing. It's T's thing. So that answers that question. Hope you understand. Number three, it's just a statement. I can't stand your Boston accent. You know what? Say hi to your mother for me, kid. I am very aware of my Boston accent. I knew when I was writing that I would come over to the podcast that people would be more aware of how I sounded. Sometimes I feel like I don't, my voice doesn't match how intelligent I am. I think my voice lets people judge me no different than when people see me, meet me in person, or see the tattoos. I don't mind that. I'm judged on my the way I talk, and I'm educated, but I'm a funny guy, and I'm raw. I'm emotional. I speak from the heart. You'll never get a lie from me, never. And when I speak so quickly and so honestly, that Boston accent, again, I was born and raised, Boston Public Schools, an original Boston neighborhood of East Boston. Look it up. I'm a Boston guy. I'm always going to be a Boston guy. I try to slow it down when I'm talking to someone. I try to slow it down here when I'm on the podcast. For all you people out there who do not understand or appreciate something as beautiful as the Boston accent, I just can't do it. I'm aware of it. I try to articulate the R's. I try to say it. I try to talk slow. I try to sound intelligent, but the Boston accent is a part of me. So whether you like it or love it, whether you like it, whether you like me or love me or hate me, whatever, if you can't stand the accent, you know what? You took the time to comment, and I still appreciate you, motherfucker. No R there, because that's where you are. Number four, you seem to have traveled a lot. I was just saying that. What place is the best? Where do you still want to go? Oh, that is a two-parter. Ooh, two parts for that question. You sneaky, sneaky son of a bitch. What place is the best? Man, you know, I've been all over the States, all over the country. I've been up to Europe, and I've been up to Canada, and I've been all over Europe. And it's tough, right? I always say when I close out all my travel episodes on T-Blog, I said Boston is the best. But as far as traveling to someplace, California, you know, in the States, I love Cali. I love Los Angeles. Went out there a dozen times pitching scripts. I went out there personal. I got friends out there. I got some cool lady friends that were out there. Had a lot of good runs out in L.A. I'm not done with L.A. I'm not done with the screenwriting by a fucking long shot. L.A. is one of my favorite places here. I did love Vegas. Not so much now. The last time I was there, it's a little bit different. But Los Angeles here in the States, where I've traveled to that I loved. And I've been to London a few times. I've been to Paris a couple of times. Every other place in Europe is a one-off. My heart is in Barcelona, for the memories I created out there on my own and with someone special. And same with Santorini, because I went there on my own and met somebody special. I think Santorini is beautiful just from an island perspective and looking out to the ocean and just being on those Greek islands. But all around, even though the first time I went to Paris, it was with a girl that I shouldn't have taken out there. And the second time, I brought my mom out there with my niece. So I have some memories out there. So I love Paris. I have to say Paris is one of the best places I've ever been to. And I'll have to put that up there, right up there at number one. I don't know if I give you number one, but I'm going to put Paris up there. And where do I still want to go? That's funny. As far as what's coming up, I'm really trying to figure out, because my sister never went on a trip with me, and I always try to take someone. I was going to try to take her to Greece that time, but she didn't want to travel that far. So I think we settled on Havana, Cuba. Cuba, I've always wanted to go to, and now that actually Obama lifted the trading and the embargo, we could actually go there and the travel restrictions, and then Trump put some more in, motherfucker. I want to go to Cuba. I want to go to Havana. I think we're going to do that in July. And Prague. Prague in Europe is last on my list. I wanted to go to Scotland when my mom was still alive because she wanted to go. Didn't make it out there. Maybe I'll go there one day, but Prague is definitely left in Europe. So that was a long answer. I know I covered a couple of places, but I hope you got something out of it. All right, number five. What do the people in your private life think about the things you share on the podcast and blog? Oh, man. I think I've covered that topic a few times, both on T-Blog, which, again, it's not really a blog. It became an entertainment website, which now is just say pretty much just serves the purpose of hosting the podcast. And here on the podcast, you know, earlier on, again, I wrote T-Blog from the point of view of a guy. I was older, but I wrote it from as a teenager and a guy in his 20s point of view. I was rough, raw, and rugged, and I approached the podcast to an extent like that, but a grown man shit, you know, one of my mottos. And it's sometimes, you know, the people that in my personal life back then, they were quick to comment on it, good or bad. They would reach out to me. There have been a lot of women that knew I was writing about them on the pod, on T-Blog. And some knew I was talking about them even here. And they would reach out to me back then. I get a text even now to this day. Some actually stopped talking to me, stopped seeing me because of the shit that I wrote on T-Blog, even though I never named them. Only they knew it was from my point of view. Only they knew the personal life, but they didn't like that. And I wasn't asking for permission because, again, I didn't name them. It was my story to tell. It was my memory in my lesson learned that I wanted to share. So I felt like I had every right to write about them, and I remained anonymous. Same with the podcast and the people in my life. You know, maybe eventually I said I was going to have some of them on the podcast, and you could, you know, I'll have them answer that one day. Like, hey, what is it like having me in your life? And a lot of people will tell you I'm a lot to take in. And what comes with loving me and knowing me and being part of my life is that you got to get T, the best friend, the son, the uncle, the brother, T, the corporate America guy, T, the tatted up guy, T, the gym guy, T, the Patriots fan, T, the guy that lives in the city, T, that does his own thing, T, that travels the world, T, that drives a car named Wesley Snipes, T, that is always going to speak his mind, T, the screenwriter, T, the fucking author, T, the podcaster. I mean, think about that. That is a lot. And the people that still put up with me, put up with my shit, and T, the ball buster too. I bust everybody's balls. It's a lot. I know I'm a lot to take in. And that's probably goes back to that, you know, that fucking, that very first question when I'm still single. I know I'm a lot to take in. It's just that, you know, I love my life. I love doing things my way. And yeah, I'm going to speak on it. And some people have had, in my personal life, had strong opinions of the things I've revealed on the podcast and more specifically on T-Blog, because T-Blog's been around a lot longer than the podcast. And some people like it and some don't. Some actually reached out to me saying, you know, when you share that story about us or what we did in that time, I appreciate it. I forgot about that memory, or it wasn't as detailed. You got a great fucking memory. You're a great storyteller. Some people like it. You know, some people read it. What was eye-opening to me was when my nieces started to get a little bit older and they were telling me how they, you know, read T-Blog, sometimes listen to the podcast. That was really cool, you know. When I started T-Blog, they were pretty young, and you know, I captured them in one of my scripts that I wrote out there, Little Bigfoot, that I wrote out there when my nieces were around, when they were born, they were little. And so it's funny how people now are saying they're revealing that they've done it. There's some people at my office who I didn't think knew about this that tell me they listened to the podcast and read T-Blog. And you know, I am who I am, and people like it in my personal life and some don't. And I've lost some people over it, and it is what it is. So I hope that answered that question. Number six, you're a funny son of a bitch, T. Well, thank you. You kill me with your movie reviews. I don't think my movie reviews have been that funny lately, but I'm glad you like them. All-time favorite movie. You know, I've been asked this several times, and I can give the classic Italian guy answer to The Godfather, the greatest movie of all time, Godfather Part 2. One and two go together, seamless. I don't think I've mentioned it here on the podcast. Maybe I talked about my love for Tarantino. And I definitely have written about this, and I've quoted it and pull scenes from YouTube on T-Blog. True Romance. True Romance was written by Quentin Tarantino. He wrote a bunch of scripts way back when. Some he said, look, I'm selling these. He actually worked in a movie store, a video store back then, for those of you who don't remember what a video store is, like Blockbuster. And he had a bunch of scripts. And he wrote Natural Born Killers, which he sold and fucking Oliver Stone like butchered it and rewrote it, and they still don't talk to this day. And he sold True Romance, and I'll get into that in a second, that script. So he didn't direct it. And after that, once he got the money for those two, he took that money and he's like, I'm directing the other two scripts that I wrote, which were Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. And then from there, he built his career. That other movie that he wrote and sold was True Romance. He wrote it. Quentin Tarantino wrote True Romance. It was probably a modern, updated take on Bonnie and Clyde, if you want to get close to an existing story, existing content. And when we talk movies, man, I could talk movies all fucking day, especially when it's my favorite. And then Tony Scott, who Ridley Scott's brother, Tony Scott killed himself a couple years ago, jumped off a bridge, was a different director. Unlike Ridley, he was more stylized, and he did a lot of movies with Denzel, too, back in the day. But this movie had an all-star cast, man. It had Brad Pitt, Michael Rapaport, Tony Soprano himself, James Gandolfini. It had Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette in the starring roles of both Clarence Worley in Alabama. I love True Romance. I love everybody that's in it. A lot of the cast actually has died. Chris Penn, Dennis Hopper. It's one of my, it has, to me, it has romance, action, adventure, violence. Very violent movie. It has that classic scene of James Gandolfini, rest in peace, beating the shit out of Patricia Arquette so she would tell him where the cocaine was in the suitcase. One of the most violent scenes ever recorded. And Tarantino wrote that. And he's one of the people that inspired me to get into screenwriting along with Kevin Smith. But my all-time favorite movie, if I had to sit there and say what I watch more than any other movie, what I love more than any other movie, and I know there's so many that I do, what just edges out all the other ones is True Romance. Watch it. Let me know what you think about it. We could talk about it one day. I will do, and I always plan to do it, a full-blown podcast dedicated to that movie. It'll be coming soon. Where are all the Woodwife guests? This is somebody that knows about my Woodwife hashtag that I created. All the Woodwife girls that I've labeled over the years, that I've shared their pictures on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I did say when I launched the podcast that I will start having guests on it. And I will. There are Woodwife girls in my personal life. There are Woodwife girls I know in Los Angeles. There are Woodwife girls I connected with on social media. The Woodwife girls that I just throw labels on of Woodwife. And I've explained that over and over again what Woodwife is. And I'm going to reach out to all of them and have them on the podcast. And I'm going to interview them. It's going to happen. It will be happening soon. I'm hoping by the summer to start getting into the Woodwife content. And it'll be coming. I promise you, stay tuned. And I think having really cool, attractive women on there, whether they're an IG model, musician, an actor, an actress, I mean, what do you want to call them? I think we can't call some people don't want to be referred by actresses. A model, anyone in my personal life, someone I've dated, you're going to have these Woodwife guests, and it's coming soon. I promise you, stay tuned. They'll be coming soon. Number 8, the podcast is great, but I miss your writing. Are you still writing? You know what? I paused on the scripts to focus on the book, and the book took me almost 3.5 years, and I went through draft after draft after draft, and I just shelved it. I don't know if I'm ever going back to it. I want to write a book. I don't know if this was going to be the book. It was going to be called Monday Lessons because I posted T-Block every Monday. I had that streak for 5 years straight, and it was me looking at my grown-up point of view and just doing an updated adult version of T-Block. I took the first 200 episodes, and I took about 40 of the best ones, and I jumped around. I didn't go in chronological order, and I was telling my life story, and I was giving like more of like a first-person point of view, and then every other chapter or inserts would have quotes from like all my rules and all my like bro codes and grown man shit, and I had it. It was shaped together, and it was coming along like a script, like a movie script, and it was a book, and I don't think those two genres should ever mash up. And I'm a screenwriter. That's what I love to do. I'm a storyteller. And I don't know if I could ever write that book. I may have to go back to it one day. But for now, the book is on hold. I'm putting all my energy into the podcast. But now that I'm in the new place, by the time this goes up and I'm catching the groove, I know what I want to do with the podcast now. I'm going to go back to a script. I'm not going to write a full script. I think I've spoken about that before. Writing full scripts is foolish from somebody that's never sold a full script. Hollywood doesn't pick up or read full scripts from a non-union screenwriter. So I write treatments now. I've written several of them. A couple of them almost got picked up. I'm going to write a treatment, and hopefully I get enough because I know which one I want to write next. Hopefully I pitch that, reach out to my connections. It's been a while, and hopefully I'll get some legs, and maybe they'll ask for some script pages, and I'll turn that into a script, and maybe I'll get a deal. But I promise myself the next movie script treatment that I write will become a script, will become a movie, and I will become the screenwriter that gets the screen credit. So when I get back to the script, the screenwriting, which I've loved to do for so long, it will be a script that I make into a fucking movie, whether I sell it or do it myself. And I'm goal-oriented, and that has been one fucking goal in my life that I haven't accomplished, and that will be my next goal. And then eventually I'll get back to that book. So that answers that writing question. Number 9, it's just a statement, kind of maybe because of the accent. This person just says, Boston sucks. You know how many times I've heard that in my life, whether my personal life or people busting my balls, friends that I know around the country, around the world, or anybody that I've had come across from New York and Los Angeles, or anybody that's read T-Blog, anybody that's reached out to me. And I say Boston's the greatest city in the world because it is. We have everything here. It's a walkable city. We have different neighborhoods with their own personality, their own style. We have 4 sports teams when some cities have 9, 10, 11, 12, 14. We have 4 that have now reached the pinnacle of fucking sports dominance. We have blue-collar workers here. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody moves fast. Everybody's a hustler. Everybody has a legit job. Everybody's a lot of personality. Everybody's fun. We're East Coast. We're Boston. We have the accent. Boston is the greatest city because it goes pound for pound, dollar for dollar, a story for story, accent for accent, title for title, sports team for sports team, view for view. I mean, look at my Instagram. Look at the pictures I've taken of the city. Boston is by far the greatest city. I'm not knocking your fucking city. I'm just big up in my fucking city. So you can say Boston sucks. I say you suck. But thank you for listening. All right, number 10, the last one. I'm going to wrap this up. Follow you on IG. I like your T-Blog pics. You have many talents, T. Well, thank you. Thank you. I didn't write that myself. Somebody actually said that. I appreciate that. Any photo advice? Writing advice? All right, another twofer. I'll hit you up. Young lady or older lady. I know this comes from a lady. Yeah, any photo advice? I went to school. I love photography. When I went for multimedia and graphic design at Northeastern University, big up to my alma mater, I took a lot of photography classes. I actually, before that, when I was into journalism in high school, I got a scholarship to go to an international arts program. When all my degenerate friends were in summer school for failing, I actually got a $6,000 scholarship. Monday through Friday, I was gone from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, 12 hours a fucking day, and I worked at Dunkin' Donuts on the weekends from 5 in the morning to 5 at night. That's how I spent my entire summer, 7 days a week, in the international arts program and working before my senior year. And I appreciated every opportunity that I built for myself on that scholarship to write in journalism. I was the magazine editor, and I had photography classes, good old-fashioned black and white. And I got to shoot on an old 35mm with different lenses, and I got to develop it and put together a collection. I actually, packing up to move to this new place, I found all my old photos. It's really cool. And when I got into college, part of my major, I got to take photography classes, and I got into both digital and color photography as well. And I've always loved photography. It wasn't until a couple years ago when Instagram and obviously cell phones, right? I mean, a cell phone right now is probably, all phones have the best cameras built into them. They're digital. That's the world we live in. There's nothing to take away from the old-fashioned way of shooting on a good old-fashioned camera like a 35mm. But I started blowing that up on Instagram because I always had an eye and I loved photos. And again, you know, Instagram, I don't use filters, but I customize them with my own because you could change the settings. So you could clean it up. It's not Photoshop by any means. It's just cleaned and it makes it more of a, the presence is stronger. And I got an eye for that. And I love taking pictures. And my advice would be take a photo class and not just, you know, a digital class or a digital editing class. Go beyond your phone camera. Get a 35mm. You can find one probably cheap. Go to an old store, take some pictures, you know, and go out there and shoot. Just shoot. I tell people that all the time. Just shoot. I was told that by my professors. Told people that when I was editing my magazine and my newspaper, and both in college, well, more so in the international arts program. Tell people just go shoot and see what you like. You'll know what you like. You'll find your niche. I'm not good at shooting pictures of people. I try. I'm good at landscapes. I'm good at cityscapes. I'm good at buildings. I'm good at capturing seasons. I'm good at faraway pictures and panoramics that capture something. I'm good with shaping and framing pictures. That's my niche. I found that by taking pictures, like hundreds and thousands of them over the years. So just go shoot. Find what you like and put it up there and share it with people. If you want to go publicly first, share it with people that you trust. Get their opinion. They'll tell you whether it's dog shit or not, and then go shoot some more. And then once people start liking it, and go, if you want, I went to social media, Instagram. I don't promote my Instagram as much as I should. I do here. I promote it by saying it, but I don't follow a lot of people, and I know that hurts me by not getting a lot of followers. But I follow what I like, and I follow on my T-blog page on Instagram a bunch of other cool photographers that are like 10 times better than me. And that just makes me want to take better pictures. So that's my advice. Take pictures. Always shoot. Follow people that you like, that you admire, and you know, they say, you know, copy is the most sincerest form of flattery. And when you see what they're taking, go try to shoot what they're shooting. See if you can do it too. See if you got that type of eye. See if you can frame a good picture. Writing advice. Just like just shoot, just write. I write, again, with the podcast, I've kind of paused, but there was a time in my life I wrote every fucking day. And I still kind of do it. You know, when I'm writing here or something on the podcast, on T-Blog, or even something, a note to myself on my phone, or a message to someone. I write business plans. I write all types of shit, whether it's the script or treatments for TV and movies, whether it's the blog or a podcast idea. Just write. You become a writer. It depends what you want to write, right? I was talking about a little while ago, the book. That book style is kind of meshing up with screenwriting. If you want to become a screenwriter, read Sid Field, the three-act structure. That still works in Hollywood. The first act, the second act, the third act, try to do 40 scenes and write your way through. If you want to write a book, read a lot of other authors, how they wrote and their thought process, how they got there. Come up with a structure, go by chapter, try to tell your story as best as you can from other people's point of views. When you create characters, create a biography for them. What did they do before they got introduced in your story? How did they grow up? Who were the people in their lives? Get to know your characters. Get to know their voice. Make sure that they all don't sound and talk alike when you hear it in your head. And just write over and over again. Write a fucking 10,000 words a day. Just do that. I wrote college papers. I wrote papers for people, essays for people to help them get into college. I loved writing, and I still do. Whether I'm a good writer or not, I always tell people I'm a good storyteller. And whether I do that here and verbalize it or tell my stories in the written form or just typing away, just write over and over again. And read the people that you admire and try to take something from their style and find your own style, find your own voice and your own writing style. That's it. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I want a full 30 minutes answering my first 10 questions and comments as T answers the listeners' questions, volume one. Hope you enjoyed it. Keep on sending your questions. Keep on sending your comments. Keep on hitting me up. You know where to find me. You could find me on Instagram. I was just talking about my photos. You can find me on the underscore T underscore podcast or T blog, all one word. Twitter, T blog, all one word. Tweet me and send your messages. DM me there on Instagram and Twitter. Email me your questions and comments. It's T at T-blogblawg.com. I'll answer more questions and comments. I'll keep on doing this. I'll try to get to it every couple of months. The Facebook page, you can DM me on there, write a comment on there, the T-Blog page. And of course, you can find me here on iTunes in the place that started this all, this whole fucking thing. That gives me a voice, that gives you a reason to comment, and I hope I entertain you. And by seeing these comments and questions, I think I am, and I'm going to keep on doing it. T-Blog.com, every Tuesday and Thursday, and now on Fridays. And that's that, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, always take it there.
Say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to holler about anything.